Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book. My name is Emily, and in this podcast, I read to you chapters in order. I'm reading them in order, so don't worry. I'm reading them in order from my book. It is currently called The Library Book, but may not be for much longer. So far, I've had one response on my poll for the title. And that choice was another idea, but I don't know what that other idea might be. So it looks like I might need some more ideas for titles. This is chapter 17, and it is called The Gate to the Waterways. So this is chapter 17, The Gate to the Waterways. Jalissa went left with Oswaldo and Axlam and their libraries, the Burrow and the Ostrich. Demetrius, Becky, and Svetlana followed Jardin into the alley straight ahead, Strummer the Pigeon flying before them. I followed Mahout and Sarkis, Cooper and Plato, Toti and Felix to the right. Johanna Juditha followed me and kept checking behind us as we walked. We headed up the street in front of the ballroom, which, from out here, just looked like a dull brick building. At the end of the block, Cooper held up a hand and then pointed down to the ground at a heavy metal grate. The elephant grasped it with her trunk and, with minimal tugging, pulled it open. Mahout guided us to the hole, and looking down, I could see a set of wet stone stairs that seemed to go on forever. "So, Sarkis and I will meet you there," said Mahout. "The library will not fit through this particular passage, so..."
"Should we go with you instead?" asked Johanna Juditha.
"So, this one is safer," said Mahout, "and a lot less wet than our entrance will be. Our way will be faster, but wetter and riskier. So, we will be there waiting for you, so..."
Plato, the crocodile, went down first, followed by Cooper, who suddenly seemed the most sensibly dressed of all of us in his big waterproof trousers. Felix followed, then Toti. I followed Toti, and Johanna Juditha followed me down the slippery stone stairs. Luckily, there was a railing, and I held on tightly as I slowly made my way down. Above us, Mahout called down,
"So, we close the gate now. Be careful. We see you soon, so..."
We shouted for her to be careful, too, and then there was a loud clang as the sewer slammed closed above our heads. After walking down what must have been several stories, we came to the bottom of the steps and saw water flowing rapidly to our left. I tugged on Toti's sleeve and confessed that I was not such a strong swimmer and wondered if they should maybe leave me behind after all. I worried suddenly that we'd have to swim it, and the current looked very strong. Toti shook her head and said,
"There is no need to swim, Zanmimwe. There is a walkway hidden just here, through this door. We will walk along the river, not through it, though the animals may prefer to swim."
We stepped through a doorway, and there indeed was a stone walkway alongside the flowing water. It was slippery and so not easy to walk on, but here too there was a railing, which helped us negotiate the journey. "Toti," I asked, "where does your language come from? What is it?"
"Ah, Zamiwa, your question I like. My first language is Haitian Creole. My second language is Turtle. My third language is French. And my fourth is English. After that, I could not tell what order the languages come in."
"How come you speak so many languages?"
"It is a good question. The short answer to the question is that I love them. On my island, lots of people from around the world came through, and I learned to talk with them. And then I learned to read those languages, and then I learned what some of the best books in the languages were. And then people started coming to me and asking me for advice about books in different languages, which is how I became a wandering librarian."
But how did learning so many languages help you become a wandering librarian?
I was collecting books to give to people, and then one day a person with a pigeon on their arm came and asked for the first book. Now, this was a big challenge because no one in the wider, wilder world is quite sure what the first book is. Here, we have a clearer idea, but out there are several possibilities. I suggested Gilgamesh to this person with the pigeon, and I asked them which language they would like to read it in. And they said they'd like to read it in the original language, and I explained that would be very difficult given that it was written on Sumerian tablets that I did not think I would be able to find for them, though I told them I would try. They came back several times, and after the fifth visit, they told me about Akita. They confessed this was a test to see if I could be a good librarian for Akita. It was Jardin, as I'm guessing you know. Felix and I visited Akita and fell in love with the place. We returned to our island fairly often, but Felix and I are quite at home wandering through Akita's libraries. And we've never been to the waterways before, so this is quite an adventure for us, too. Toti had to move ahead to catch up with Felix, who was traveling quite a bit more quickly than us. I asked Johanna Juditha why some of the wandering librarians didn't want to come here, why they seemed so horrified at the idea.
Many people of Akita think of the waterways as the sewer of the global library. While it is technically a part of Akita, it is seen as a bad neighborhood, underground. Many Akitans prefer not to think about the fact that their water comes from here and returns here as well. They prefer to pretend that the waterways don't even exist. It is not included on maps, as it is underground.
But people live here.
They do.
How do they live underground with no sunlight? Don't people need light to live?
They are a very clever, adaptive people. They bring sunlight down into their city in a similar way to how Akita brings up water to its fountains and rivers. In Akita, people write romantic songs about water, like rivers and oceans and streams. In the waterways, they write romantic songs about light, sunlight, moonlight, starlight. All light is reflected there, but they do extraordinary things with it.
Is that why you know so much about the waterways? I asked. Because of the music?
Yes, she said. Music can open many doors of knowledge.
Cooper called back to us that we'd arrived at the exit. He stood in front of a heavy door, examining it, then grasped the handle and pushed it open with his shoulder. We emerged at the edge of a circle made of stone. Across it, in front of a large wooden gate, were Mahout and Sarkis. Mahout was wringing out her orange skirt, and Sarkis was blowing on Mahout's head as if her trunk were a hairdryer. When Mahout saw us, she waved us over.
"So, I did not realize the gate would be locked. We tried pushing, so we tried pulling. The keyhole is like no key I've ever seen."
The librarians swung into action. They got on their knees to look under it. They peered through the cracks. They tried several tools, which they had in their bags.
"Maybe there's a special knock?" I asked.
They all turned to look at me.
I was embarrassed because maybe that was a stupid suggestion. "I'm sorry," I said. "It was just an idea."
Johanna Juditha asked Mahout, "Did you knock?"
"Didn't occur to me so," said the elephant librarian with some shrugging of the shoulders.
"Well," Johanna Juditha said, "I can see it's a good thing that you have Leandra and I along. And yes, Leandra, I imagine there is a special knock. In fact, I believe I've seen it in my library. It's in a score of special rhythms. There's a piece called Gate to the Waterways, which I have always been interested in. It's possible that it was written for this very occasion." All of the librarians and libraries stepped aside to clear a path for her, and the music librarian walked through them and up to the door. She stood for a moment. There was an expectant hush as everyone waited for her to knock. She didn't, though. She just stood, her head tilted to one side, staring into space. The elephant librarian started to say something,
But Johanna Juditha held up her hand, and Mahout quickly shut her mouth.
"That music librarian looks like a panther waiting to pounce," said Cooper to Tilty.
"She's thinking, or preparing, or remembering," Tilty whispered back.
It felt like forever as we all stood there in silence, waiting for the music librarian to bring her hand to the door. Finally, in one quick move, she lifted her fist and knocked. Some of the knocks were strong, others quiet. There were several in quick succession, and then a pause, and a big one, and several combinations of the two. It wasn't the kind of rhythm you could dance to. It was complicated. I couldn't have repeated it after I heard it. It was more than a knock. It was a full piece of music. I'm pretty sure none of us could have done it without years of practice. When Johanna Juditha brought her hand down and stepped away from the door, we couldn't help but applaud her. We had no idea if it would open the gate for us, but at that moment, we didn't care. We'd so appreciated the music. The music librarian nodded at the applause shyly and then looked at the gate expectantly. Nothing happened. She tried the handle in case it was a lock release code, and it didn't budge. So that was chapter 17, and I have something funny to tell you. So I added a chapter kind of a few chapters ago, or basically I made one chapter much, much longer than it had been before, so I broke it into two. And that was a few chapters ago. I don't know if I mentioned it to you. Probably I didn't. Anyway, because of that, all of the chapter numbers in my document where I keep all of these words got a little bit confused. And so I had two chapter 16s, two chapter 17s, I think, as well. So I got a little bit confused around about here and wasn't sure which chapter we were on. But I think I've got it all straightened out now. So I have a question for you about, actually not about this chapter, although I probably have questions for you about this chapter too. I just can't think of what they are at the moment. But my question is actually, if you can think back, if you're here with me now, you've been listening for a little while. So I would love for your perspective on, the beginning of this whole book. Because I can see in my in the app where I put up the podcast, I can see like how many people are listening. Theoretically, I don't actually think they're accurate, these statistics, but theoretically I can see how many people are listening to episodes. That's pretty much the only information I get, is a series of numbers, but those numbers show me that a lot of people have listened to the first chapter, and about half of the people that listen to the first chapter go on to read the second. So there's a big drop-off between the first chapter and the second chapter, and there's like a little drop-off between the second and the third, but there was more of one before, but there isn't so much anymore. But I'm wondering if you have thoughts about that. If you can maybe think about, because maybe after the first chapter, since we don't know like the sort of fantasy part of this yet, I think maybe I lose people because they don't know where we're going. So I'm trying to figure out if maybe I should turn the first chapter into a longer chapter so that we at least get there. And so people kind of get where we're going because, you know, we don't want to lose them right out of the gate, right? So if you have ideas about how to keep those folks around after chapter one, let me know. I'd be curious to hear what you think about that, sort of where all those people go after chapter one. All right, everybody. So, ways you can reach out to me are leandralibrary@gmail.com,
We have the Google voicemail box, which is 646-847-8758. And you can, you know, you could probably even just, like, record a conversation with somebody there. Or if you have, like, a voice recording app on your phone, or your parents have a recording app on their phone, you can just record a conversation that you guys have about it or whatever. I really am happy to hear any of your responses to what's going on. And if you have a way to reach me that is not anything I just suggested, use that too. Feel free. I'd love to hear from you in any way. So for now, that's the end of this episode, and I will see you for the next chapter next time.